Bill Buckley with you until 2 Sport thereafter. And it's gadget time with Fevzi Turkalp. You can follow him on Twitter at Gadget Detective. Hi there, Fevzi. How are you?
Yes, good afternoon. I've missed you so. How are you?
Yes, I've been. It's just the way the schedules have worked out. I think I've had three Saturdays off in a row, and yet not particularly other days off. I guess you must have been wondering whether I'd gone off you in some way. But
well, yeah, I just assumed it was something I said. You know.
No, don't be hurt. It was nothing like that.
All right.
So there I was watching the telly in the week, watching the news, and up came a story, and I thought, I wonder if Fevzi will go for that one. I hope he will, because it is interesting in many directions, far away from, you know, just tech itself, even though it's interesting in tech terms. And sure enough, you have. The situation in China, for those who've missed it, do explain.
So the Chinese government have announced a further crackdown on online gaming for people under 18 years old, children essentially. They are now to be limited. So this is computer games that you play online, often with other people in a group. And it's now limited to 3 hours a week. And not only 3 hours a week, but between 8 and 9 p.m. on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So if those times aren't convenient, then you can't play at all. And it's quite remarkable. I mean, they're putting their sort of their money where their mouth is, essentially, by trying to back this up with law. They're requiring the companies to put into place things like facial recognition to make sure that children don't use their adults, their parents' ID. And it's quite remarkable. I mean, their view is that online gaming is harmful to the child and to the family and to the state, and therefore it is to be limited. I mean, it's interesting that they haven't sought to ban it altogether. Therefore, they must think that there's a safe usage, because prior to that, I think you could do an hour a day or 3 hours a day, but it was limited before. But now it's limited to such an extent that one wonders. I mean, it's an interesting experiment, because, I mean, by that argument to say, you know, that it's bad for youngsters and bad for the families and bad for the state, one wonders what they must think of social media. Because I think there's possibly stronger arguments about the damage to society caused by social media, not just in China, but in this country as well. I mean, we see, you know, anti-vaxxers, you know, getting their scientific information from Facebook and things like this, you know, and, you know, people believing elections were stolen, all this sort of misinformation that goes on through social media. It seems to me a far more harmful, potentially harmful platform. One just wonders whether it's because the Chinese state might have more control over social media and sees it as a tool for their own use.
I was going to ask you how they're going to enforce it. So they are requiring the companies to, in effect, do that for them, are they?
Yeah, so they're stepping up the inspections of the companies. They obviously intend to enforce this, and so things like facial recognition, and it's kind of creepy, because then it means that it's watching you all the time to make sure it's still you playing the game in front of the camera. Yeah. You know, they could be running all sorts of social experiments on people, trying to work out who's borderline psychotic, who might say anything about the state whilst the camera's switched on, or maybe picked up in the background. You know, you have to be careful what you say in front of, you know, cameras, and you can't just turn them off now.
Sure.
This is the way, I think, this is the way Chinese society is going, but the idea of us being watched as we use our devices, I think that's on the rise all over the world.
I'm just wondering, if this had been mooted in any Western country, you know, what the response would have been. Doesn't this more than anything show the, you know, the huge difference in different societal cultures around the world? Goodness me.
Yeah, it does, and it was quite interesting that, you know, in the way that some societies were able to deal with COVID restrictions in the East as compared to the West. I mean, although you know, China was, you know, is thought to be the source of COVID, they were much more efficient in shutting it down in the early stages. Obviously, not sufficiently, but they were able to do that, because they were able to put curfews on people, and you know, you didn't get huge demos in the street about it, and their restrictions were far stricter. And also they were using things like mobile phone apps to track people and restrict them to their homes. And I think one might be in Singapore. They were using Boston Dynamics dogs, which are these robot dogs made by the American company Boston Dynamics. They were using them in parks and public places to tell people to separate, to stay apart.
My goodness.
To socially distance. Can you imagine? We've come to the point where robot dogs are keeping people apart.
Who do you think will primarily be watching with interest this experiment, if we can call it that, in China? I mean, politicians, health experts, what reaction will there be to it, do you think?
I don't think that there's any appetite for following suit in the West. I think...
Especially, we found out that young people are healthy, mentally healthier, physically fitter, lots of benefit because of this strict restriction. Wouldn't there then be a sort of case you could make for it?
I mean, I think that there is a case for it, but I think what I would say is this: games are designed, across the world to be highly addictive, and we've sort of moved away from games that were either truly free or games where you'd spend, a tenner and then the game was yours, to games where you get. The game free initially, but then they use psychologists to get you to buy in what they call in-app purchases. Okay, so they design the game in such a way that you can't progress very far, you're at a disadvantage to those that buy their they used to call it pay to play. They actually call it pay to win now, because the games are impossible to win. But the use of technology, the design of technology to be addictive, is a big problem. It started with the mobile phone operating systems. The people who designed those have been interviewed on record as saying they were told to make them as addictive as possible, and they got psychologists in, with dopamine rushes, with the notifications pinging, likes on Facebook and so forth, where your sense of esteem is linked to these things. I think, to answer your question, I would not favour laws coming in to say you must be restricted in how many hours and when you can play a game or social media or use your devices. But I think that there should be laws to prevent companies designing things that are deliberately designed to be addictive. There are similar laws about items we put in our mouths and so forth. But there are restrictions on cigarettes and all the rest of it. So I think that that's the way to go to actually change the way that these games are monetized. Why not just have games that you buy and then you know what you're paying? Because you hear all these horror stories, and they are far too common, where youngsters, and not just youngsters, but also adults, have spent thousands of pounds and tens of thousands of pounds on these highly addictive games. And they literally use psychologists to work out when in the gameplay you would be most susceptible to the suggestion that you should pay some money and buy something to help you progress. And that's just wrong. They're disassembling our human weaknesses and using them against us.
Big stuff to take on board. Bill Buckley here. More to the point, Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, here as well. And here comes the gadget of the week. It's the Logitech Crayon Digital Pencil. Tell us more.
Okay, so this is a digital pencil designed for use with iPads. Any iPad from 2018 or more recent will work with this device. So why would you want a digital pencil when you can just use your finger on an iPad screen? Well, you can do a number of things with it. iPads now have got built into them the technology to translate handwriting into text. So if you want to make handwritten notes, you can either use the software built into Apple's iOS or a plethora of different apps that also do a similar note-taking function. But also, you can draw, you can sign documents. I don't know if you've had that experience. Sends you a PDF of a document and you have to print it out. sign it, scan it, and send it back. Well, if you've got an iPad and one of these crayons, you can actually just sign it in situ. Similarly, you can mark up a PDF. So one of the things that I do, for example, when I'm going to talk about a story, is I look at the website, I turn it into a PDF, and I mark it up with a pen or mm-hmm. a pencil. Mm-hmm. And then I highlight the bits I want to say. It keeps me focused. So it's got, a lot of uses, as I say. Also good if you want to do, let's say, photo editing and you want to apply an effect to a particular part of the picture. It's much more precise than using, your finger. So Apple have got their own device like this called the Apple Pencil. It's a lot more expensive. The current version, the Apple Pencil 2, is about twice the money. There are some differences in what they do, but for the most part, they're pretty similar. So the Logitech crayon uses Apple Pencil technology, and I think it's the only third party that does that. So, for example, it's got what's called palm rejection technology. So when you rest the palm of your hand or the side of your hand on the screen in order to, use a pen as you would, rest your hand on a piece of paper, it realizes that that's not the pencil or your finger, and it ignores it, which is, essential, because if it thought you were going to your finger every time you put your hand on the screen,
so you'd be swearing, wouldn't you? Yes.
Yeah, you get a big smudge. Also, if you tilt the angle of the tip of the Logitech crayon at an angle, you can get thicker lines. So when it's perpendicular to the screen, you'll get a thin line, and as you tilt it, the line can be thicker. Also, very interestingly, unlike other devices that use Bluetooth and therefore Bluetooth pairing, this device doesn't need to be paired. You just switch it on and it works automatically. It also means that if you happen to have more than one iPad, you can just take it from device to device and not have to unpair and repair it. So it's kind of good for that. Now, the area in which it differs from the more expensive Apple Pencil is it doesn't have pressure sensitivity. So if you wanted to use this for any sort of sophisticated art, okay, you can tilt both to get that line thickness, but you can't with the Logitech crayon. Pressing it harder doesn't make a difference. Now, in some ways, that's a good thing. I know that, for example, think of a musical keyboard. When you're learning to play a keyboard, having dynamic sensitivity, is not always a good thing in the beginning. So the way I'd characterize it is this: if you just want this for text input and not for art, then this is absolutely fine and it's half the money. If you want to use it for, artistic drawings and paintings, then the pressure sensitivity is useful, but it does then double the price compared to the Apple Pencil 2. So this device, the Logitech Crayon, list price $64.99. I saw it today on sale for $59.33 at well-known websites. It's just, a very good thing. The other thing I liked about this was it has a greater range of compatibility and it's simple to understand. 2018 and later, all iPads from 2018 and later will work with this device. With the Apple Pencil, there's the Apple Pencil 1 and the Apple Pencil 2. And you need the Apple Pencil 2 for the more recent ones, but it won't work with the older ones. So if you've got the Apple Pencil 1 and then you upgrade your iPad, you've got to buy a new pencil, which is annoying. Whereas with this one, at the moment, what's been happening is with each new generation, it's just continued to work. So simply from 2018 onwards, all works with the Logitech crayon. So all in all, I've given it 4 stars, no pressure sensitivity, but perfect for writing, taking notes, marking up PDFs and signing documents. And I actually think it actually changes the way that you can use a tablet and in ways that are quite important, because a lot of people are talking about, can the iPad replace my laptop? And in some senses it can. But the point is you can do things with an iPad that you can't do with a laptop or a desktop computer. And it just becomes a lot more natural. In the way a lot more intuitive and natural in the way that we interact. So just as touch was more natural as opposed to typing. The use of a pencil or crayon type device, it just changes the way that you use these things and becomes rather special. So 4 stars out of 5, Logitech crayon, also available in 2 colours, by the way, and that's kind of relevant just because if you've got more than one of them in your house or your office, it's quite nice to be able to see who belongs to what.
So I suppose.
And one more small thing, the Apple Pencil is round, you know, it's a cylindrical.
Like a pencil.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. And although they've weighted it to try and stop it rolling off your desk, it can still roll. If it's got a bit of momentum, it can roll, whereas the Logitech crayon is sort of more like an oval cross-section, and therefore it doesn't roll. And as someone who lost his Apple Pencil 1, presumably because it rolled away somewhere,
this is a big selling feature for you, yes.
Well, you know, it's absolutely. Kind of, well, you know, because we lose pencils, right? We lose pencils and pens. It just, you don't want to lose one that's £130 Apple Pencil.
I like the hexagonal ones because as they roll, they go as they roll away, don't they? But that's another story.
Okay.
That's a story for the 5-year-old me. Fevzi, thank you so much. Great to talk to you. Fevzi Turkalp is your gadget detective.